الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يريد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choice of blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He is bestowing upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the consciousness of all these blessings and let us use them in a manner that will please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing aspects relating to the heart, spiritual heart. And the 1 week we spoke about is feeling the sweetness or perceiving the sweetness of Iman with the heart. Last week we spoke about the noor of the heart. And carrying on with that this week, inshallah, when the noor of the heart, when Allah Ta'ala sends a noor onto the heart, then that heart, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, becomes open, it expands. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ. When Allah wants to give hidayat to anybody, then Allah opens His heart towards the deen, towards Islam. So, when that happens, we mentioned that then it becomes very easy for a person to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we heard in the previous hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there are three signs. One is that a person now focuses on the akhirat. Each and everything he does is about his akhirat. Number two is he cuts himself away from the unnecessary material pursuits. And the third thing is that he makes preparation for death before death. So these are the three signs. So we should be making dua always that, oh Allah, open our hearts, expand our hearts towards your obedience, expand our hearts towards accepting Islam and so forth. Allahumma shrah sudurana lil Islam. Allahumma shrah, oh Allah, open our hearts lil Islam, for the following of the deen. Then we will have no doubt about it. We will have no hesitation about following it. Anything and everything we do will be focused that, you know what, I have to worry about my akhirat. I have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what we have been discussing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us glad tidings. So all we have to do now is ask ourselves how much of how our hearts have actually been opened towards the Islam, how much of Noor has descended on our hearts. And when that comes in there, then everything else becomes futile. Only Allah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of us. The material things, they do not bother us in any way. And likewise, the blessings of Allah ta'ala mean everything to us. The various qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come right in front of us. You know, we read the 99 names, which are very, very great, mashallah. Each of that name is such an assurance and reassurance for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So normally we read it and we find the guy who reads it the best, mashallah. You saw how nice that guy read the 99 names. Every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got so much of guidance and so much of power and assistance for us that we need to know it. But when the heart is open, the person will recognize all these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the worldly affairs, once you've got the greatness of Allah and the preciousness of the akhirat in front of you, then when a person loses worldly things also, he'll say it's one of those things. So in other words, the futility of the worldly things. And worldly things, their value just totally goes away in front of him. He doesn't feel anything about these things. And the next thing is the people around him. That is what today's talk is about. The people around him also do not in any way affect him. So you get two groups of people around you. You get one group, they are forever complimenting you and showering you with praises and all the rest of that. So if a person is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't bother him. People can say whatever he wants, so how great he is, how good he is, what a good reader he is, what a good lecturer he is, whatever it might be. Because he's now focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very good quality. You must not look for any kind of, you know, compliments and congratulations from the people. We mustn't worry. If it comes, alhamdulillah. But some people are so weak in their iman that they look for that. They want recognition. And if it's not given to them, they actually get cross. It's called conceit. Nobody even told me I read so nice. Feel bad, feel cross. And on the other hand, if somebody condemns them and criticizes them, speaks bad about them, same thing. It's okay. Right? It's okay. It's not going to make me in any way smaller or whatever it is. I have to worry about these things if they are in me and whether I am focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is one of the signs that a person's heart has now opened up. And everything else becomes insignificant in front of him. Then, like we mentioned, all the other evil qualities also leave a person. For the heart to be fully opened, there's got no place for evil qualities. It's got no place for jealousy, for hatred, for lust, for all these things. They all go away. Because now the heart is only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the heart we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we come to one specific aspect of those people whose hearts were open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who were not affected by things what people said or what people did. So if we can get that, inshallah, that's a sign of our hearts having now been opened up towards Allah Ta'ala, they have been expanded. So we mentioned that people, words and people's actions sometimes, they can cause a major hurt to us. It can cause a problem to us. So when the heart is opened up, it doesn't matter. Now let's look at the example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of the battle of Uhud, right? He was attacked, he was bleeding, he fell down. The kuffar, they attacked him and they were trying to kill him. That was the bottom line. So the Sahaba, they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you curse these people? We had the hadith the other day after Maghrib. Curse these people, see what they're doing to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Lam ub'atho la'anan. I have not been sent as someone who curses. Bu'ithto rahma. I have been sent as a mercy unto mankind. Now, again, let's just compare ourselves to somebody who wrongs us here and see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't curse. Over and above that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua that Allahumma hadi qawmi, Allah give hidayat to my people. Because they don't know. Now again, put ourselves in that position. If somebody harms us in whichever way, he swears us, makes a bit about us, runs us down, stands, steal our stuff, whatever it might be, we say, yeah, I'll show you, and Allah will show you, and all those things, you see there on top. We say like that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, forgive my people, they don't know. And the third thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the blood was flowing from his body, from his face, because he got injured, then he was taking a cloth and he was wiping it. He said, if one drop of this blood has to fall on the ground because a Nabi of Allah has been attacked, then the blood is going to drop and immediately the azab of Allah is going to descend on these people here. So again, look at ourselves and look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was so, you know, worried about the ummah, not worried about himself. He overlooked all those type of things. So again, if a person's heart is open and big, obviously we can't be like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in any case, the heart is open, people will harm us, they'll say us wrong, we'll say, okay, no problem. Another one, the conquest of Mecca. The conquest of Mecca, the Muslims had authority. They were now dominating. The kuffar were all on the side there, they could do nothing about it. Now, what's going to happen to us? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go, I forgive you. Now, to forgive somebody after you have full authority and power over them, despite what and what they did to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So thus, a believer will only do when his heart is open, that he will not worry of what the people did. He will worry about how I can please Allah Ta'ala, how I can make my place in Jannah. Wal afina anin nas, the people who oversee, overlook, and they pardon other people who harm them. So that is the example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's go to some of the buzrugs, the saints whose names we very regularly hear. So we start with Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, that we always talk about him. So it is said once he was on a journey from somewhere, and there were a lot of people on the boat also, and there was one very big, like a tycoon there. He had a lot of followers, so, you know, they were entertaining him and keeping him happy and doing whatever they had to do to keep their boss happy. So one of them said, you know what, let's do something. He even said, let's do something different to make our boss happy. Let's catch one of the guys here and make an example of them and use them, you know, like a clown and whatever it might be. So this way, Ibrahim bin Adham, Bicharo, sitting in one corner, Buzruk of Allah Ta'ala, no, nothing. Didn't look like a significant person. They caught him and they brought him here. in front of the boss. And now they started doing all funny kinds of things, you know, hurting him and mocking him and slapping him. And it was a big circus taking place, a big show. And he didn't do anything. He took it lying down. He let them harm him. And then a voice said to him, "Oh, Ibrahim, how much longer are you going to allow this to carry on?" So he said, "I make dua, Allah give these people hidayat." Now we can imagine, this is now when your heart is opened up and it is big. It is mentioned another similar incident that there were people on a boat, they were going, and as they were traveling on this boat, another boat passed them, and the people on that boat were drinking and dancing and doing all kinds of things. And so they started, you know, mocking at the people on this side of the boat, on this boat here. So there's one buzrug on this side. So somebody told him, "Look at these people, man. You know, Allah must destroy them, man. The boat must just sink now. Just see what they're doing." So he says, "Oh Allah, give these people hidayat. Oh Allah, give these people hidayat." When that other boat reached the shore, all those people's hearts were changed already because of the dua of a person who overlooked, he did not judge them. So this is the thing about people that are expanded hearts. They do not worry about, you know, looking down on people and condemning people and taking, you know, things that are going to hurt them in any way. They don't take it to mind. So that is as far as Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, is concerned. Then there is mention made of one very great fighter and activist of Islam. His name was Shah Ismail Shahid, rahmatullah alayhi. His name features very strongly in the liberation fight which the ulama had undertaken against the British at that time. We hear the name of Sayyid Ahmad Shahid rahmatullah alayhi and Sayyid Ismail Shahid. Now, Sayyid Ismail Shahid was a very strong man on Tawheed. He was in an environment there, you must remember, in the India area, where there's a lot of shirk taking place. So he used to let the guys have it in the lectures that this is shirk and you're not supposed to do like this, and this is Tawheed. And until now, you find the people who do not agree with him, they condemn him. They speak bad about him, you understand? So in any case, in that gathering, one day he was giving a bayan. And he had a very short temper, by the way. He was very, you know, hot-headed. One person in the lecture got up, he says, "You are an illegitimate child." You're giving bayan, somebody stands up and tells you like that. You want to condemn, because this man was talking on Tawheed. So Sayyid Ismail Shahid, rahmatullah alayhi, though he was such a short-tempered person, he was on haq. He told a person, "No, man, wait, you're wrong. I'm not illegitimate. Because the people who attended my parents' nikah, the witnesses are still alive. They can come and attest that my parents were married and I am the product of that marriage." So he didn't get cross. He just looked at it. He overlooked it in this particular way. Then we have the example of one very great buzrug. He was giving bayan. Also, he was doing lesson to his students. He was a muhaddith. So while he was giving the lesson, one person sitting in the gathering, I didn't like him. He got up and he told him, this about you. So the students got very cross. I mean, they say, "What is wrong with this person here?" So they wanted to stop him and beat him. So as I said, wait, leave him alone. Some of the things he said are right. And the things that he said that are wrong about me, I make him laugh. So leave him alone. So again, this is when your heart is opened up, then you don't let the people's words and actions affect you. Because now if you are wrong, then the first thing we need to do is we need to put ourselves right. And once something is pride in a person, then he's not going to allow that. That's the first thing. When we get criticized, before going on to the defensive, we must try and actually say, what this person is saying is maybe it is right. I need to put myself right. But the thing is, look at the reaction of this person. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, one person came to test his patience. Imam Abu Hanifa was a very, very, you know, tolerant person. He had a lot of sabr. So in the heat of the afternoon, this person knew Imam Abu Hanifa is going to go in now, rest. So he just worked it out that he's going to go for his qailula. So he came, he knocked on the door. So Imam Abu Hanifa had a double-story house. Like how in that time, his sleeping was on the top. And he said towards a part of his life, he became a bit stout. So it was difficult for him to walk up. So if you were a bit heavy, you know, to go upstairs. So he came down And the person runs there by his door. So Imam Sahib says, what can I do for you? He says, oh, man, I came to ask you for a Muslim, but you know, I just forgot what it is, man. I'm so sorry, man. Now, he was testing Imam Abu Hanifa's. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to tell you something, I just forgot. Now, you're getting ready for a good sleep. And this man comes and does it to you. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, okay, no problem. Whenever you remember, you must come back. And he walked up, this person worked out. He knocked again. Imam Sahib came down, said, okay, you know, I forgot what I wanted to ask you. Now, he was really nice. Somebody does it second time, we're not going to let him keep. We're going to sort him out. He did this three times. And finally, on the third time after that, Imam Abu Hanifa said, okay, no problem. When you remember, you must come back. You must think about it. Then, he said, oh yeah, now I remembered. Tell me, man, what is the taste of excrete? Now you wake a man up 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you make him come up and down three times. Then you ask the question, now who wants to know what is the taste of excrete? So Imam Sahib looked at him and said, tell me, what kind of excrete you're looking at? Dry, fresh? So he said, both. Now, if he does again ask, and somebody asks a stupid question like that, we say, is this what you came to tell me? So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali said that it is the dry one, that is like not sweet, and the fresh one is sweet, something like that, right? So you want to say, Imam Wanifa, how you know what is the taste of? You taste it. So now you can see how he's pushing this man. So Imam Wanifa Ramtullah said, no. When the excrete is fresh, flies sit on it. And when it's dry, flies don't sit on it. Flies always get attracted to something sweet. Get his reasoning. So the man said, okay, I'm sorry. You know what, actually, I've been heard you the most tolerant person in Baghdad. I came to test you. I just want to see how much of patience you have got. I don't want to know nothing about anything about excrete and all of that. So he came to test Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. So Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali is a very great scholar also, you must remember. And in his time, there were people who really were his followers, but there were also a lot of people who were his enemies because they couldn't tolerate the way he put forward the fiqh and all those things. So it is said, once he was coming home, and a person saw him and he started swearing him. And saw him. And Imam Sahib walked the whole length till he came to his house. And this person told him, what's wrong with you? You think I'm a dog or something? I'm talking to you, I'm telling you, and you're ignoring me like how someone will ignore a barking dog. So again, Imam Sahib didn't reply to him. Imam Sahib came to the door finally, he turned around to the brother. Sit down, this is my house here. You finish, say what you want to say. Can I go inside, or you still got something more to say? So that man got so resting, got so knocked, as you would say. So then he went away. Imam Sahib went home and brought some gifts and went to that person's house and gave it to him. That is how he exercised what we call patience. Now again, this is when the heart opens up. Then these things don't bother a person. He mentioned about another Buzruq also similar to this, that somebody was swearing him. No, he was sitting in a gathering and one of his students told him, you know, Hazrat so and so, he says this and about you. And others said, yeah, we've heard him also say that a certain person speaks this bad about you, this bad. He didn't investigate who said it and when they said it and why they said it. No, he just kept his head down. After the lesson, he took out a beautiful gift filled with gold coins and that, and he went to that person's house. When this person opened the door, he got a shock. He said, this Sheikh, yeah, I'm talking bad about him. Why is he here? So then I brought a gift for you. So I said, okay. Why you brought a gift for me? He said, you know what? You've done such a great favor to me. It's only right that I repay you. So I said, what favor I did? He said, you've been speaking bad about me. And in the process, you have made my akhirat. You have given me all your good deeds. You have taken away all my bad deeds. When you speak bad about somebody, that's what happens. You have to be very careful. We speak bad about people, we are actually giving them our good deeds and taking away their bad deeds. So say, you're being so much good, I can't do anything for you in the akhirat, at least here I can give you a gift for doing this for me. So look at this man's, what you call it, again, his endurance and how he dealt with the problem. So there are lots of similar incidents that have been mentioned with regard to the pious people. And when somebody slapped Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. Also in this, you know, he had his enemies, the last one. So when he slapped him, he didn't retaliate. He told the person, if I want, I could have slapped you back. If I want, I can report you to the authorities, like we'll say, I lay a charge against you. If I want, I would actually make dua, but dua for you in my tahajjud salah. I can do that also because you wronged me. And if I want on the day of Qiyamah also, I can take you to task and I can tell Allah Ta'ala what you did. But if on the day of Qiyamah I am sorted out and Allah Ta'ala is happy with me, I will not go into Jannah until you don't come with me. Subhanallah. So how we do, we swear a fellow, it's even go to Jahannam and all the rest of it. We do like that. So in any case, today's lesson is about when the heart has been expanded, then these type of worldly things don't affect a person. He is so connected to Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't look for compliments and he doesn't get affected by any kind of criticism and so forth. Very beautiful quality to have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to us, inshaAllah. Let's make dhikr. أفضل الذكر فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله الله 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 Allah, 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 Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa la aqibatul muttaqeen. Salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم أتوب إليه جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقوى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة فوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين We are stretching our hands out in front of you and begging you, Ya Allah, to send down your special forgiveness and mercy upon us and forgive us from every type of sin, whichever one it might have been, and purify us like the day our mothers gave birth to us, Ya Arham al-Rahimin. Ya Allah, we're asking you to send down every kind of goodness on all the brothers that are present in this gathering and our mothers and sisters at home and the entire Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, those people who have got debts, we ask you to pay off their debts. Those who have got financial problems, we ask you to remove their financial problem. Those that are making an effort for halal rozi, we ask you to grant them barakah. Those who do not have doors of livelihood, we ask you to open up their doors of livelihood at khair and barakah, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Those who are ill, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant them shifa. Ya Allah, our elder uncle Qasim Ghani is in hospital. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant him the best of shifa and the best what you know is for him. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, remove whatever pain and difficulty he is in. Ya Allah, and everybody else who is ill and who have phoned us and have messaged us to make dua for them, Ya Allah, you grant them all shifa, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Allah, send down your special mercy on the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, at this point in time, our country is on the threshold of such a challenge and such a test. Ya Allah, we hand the matter over to you with total trust. Ya Allah, you are our protector. Ya Allah, you are our safeguard. Ya Allah, you are our safety. Ya Allah, you let everything happen that is good. And Ya Allah, whatever evil intentions and plans whichever people might have, Ya Allah, you let it fall back on them. And you cause, Ya Allah, total peace and security for us. Do not let us be harmed in any way. Protect us, protect our families, our children, our properties, our homes, and our country in every way. Ya Rahman Rahimin. Protect everyone, the mu'mineen as well as the disbelievers. Ya Allah, we all are your servants. Ya Allah, we ask you to send down your special mercy. And those who are planning and who are orchestrating this, Ya Allah, if there's no hidayah to them, Ya Allah, you expose them. And you let ever whatever plans they have done, Ya Allah, fall back on them. Ya Allah, we ask you to send down every good in the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us everything that he had asked for. And we ask you to save us from everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to be saved from. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursalin.